Good. All right, we will go ahead and call the Mayor and Council monthly business meeting for March 20th, 2023 to order. It is 6:01. First, we have public comment, and you are visitors, unless you have any comments besides what you're going to present. There's nobody online. So, next we have presentation of the audit report for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022, please.
All right. Where do you guys want me?
Oh, you can stand right at the podium.
See me over here?
Yep, it does.
Okay.
The owl sees everywhere.
The owl sees everything. I don't know if that's good or bad. Right?
At least if you're not behind that column. It has a hard time working
around
the column.
That's why I sat there. I was hoping to hide. Hi, I am Roy Geiser. Thank you for having us as your auditors again. We appreciate it. Many of you know we had historically been TGM, but as of January 1st of 22, we merged with UHY. So now we're UHY, same office. Same face, different three letters, I guess. About the only thing different that you guys would notice would be the audit report, but I think this was issued under UHY last year because of the timing. So, I guess we'll jump into it. We'll go to the financial report, which is the thicker of the two packages. Most important thing and why you guys pay us is on page one, the independent auditor's report. So the second paragraph down is basically what you are interested in, and that is the opinion. We think that the financials as presented are free of any material misstatement. So that's the highest level of assurance we can give you, a clean opinion, unmodified opinion. Two paragraphs down, the other thing I'll point out is the emphasis of a matter paragraph. All that's saying is, hey, pay attention. If you look at last year's, it does not. It has leases, but it's a different standard. This year, GASB 87 is implemented, so GASB 87 is within these financial statements. And I'll point out a couple areas where you'll see that. Moving on to page 11, and if you have any questions, feel free to stop me or pause me. I kind of hear things pretty quick, preventing people from falling asleep. So, page 11, under liabilities, you'll see finance lease, right to use lease. That's GASB 87. That's the new verbiage there. Finance lease is the old capital lease. Right to use lease is the old operating lease. But you'll see that there. Most important thing on page 11 is net position. You'll see at the bottom right. So, this is net position of the town as a whole, governmental funds and business type activities or water. So, everything combined. So if this was like a for-profit look at your town, this would be your equity, per se. So net position is $15.9 million at the end of the year. Net investment of capital assets is $15.5. We have about $620,000 in restricted cash for business loans and such. And then unrestricted is a deficit of $173,000. So the reason I focus on that position is I like to kind of watch that over time. If that's going up, that can mean financial health, if it's creeping down, financial deterioration. Not necessarily year to year, but kind of trends is what we look at. So on page 12, this is how the net position got to where it is for this last year. If you look at change in net position, which is the third line from the bottom, overall it went down by about $63,000. The business type went up by $143,000. Governmental activities went down by 205. But take note, right above that, the transfers in and out. So the governmental activities funded the enterprise activities about $220,000 this year. That's the transfers in. I'm going to go into that in a little bit more detail once we get to the audit communications. Page 13 is your balance sheet. This is just your governmental funds. This is on a different basic accounting, not to get too technical, but on here you won't see long-term debt on this balance sheet, or you will not see fixed assets. So this is modified accrual basis accounting. What I always focus on this page is governmental fund. If you look under fund balances, so the governmental fund balance is $847,000 in total. $203,000 is non-spendable. You might ask what that is. That's your inventory, land held for sale. Prepaid expenses, basically that's already been spent, so you can't spend it. Restricted is the $620,000, that's restricted for the small business loans. And then the remaining is unassigned. What the GFOA looks for is 2 months of unassigned fund balance as it relates to your operating expense. So we'll get into that again in the only communications, but that's where those numbers are coming from when we talk about that. Page 18. This is the next thing I always like to look at, and it's your enterprise funds, your water sewer fund. Remember, enterprise funds are designed to be self-sustaining. They're supposed to, the fees charged are supposed to cover the expenses. So we always look at, I always like to look at operating income, net operating income or loss. For you guys, you had an operating loss of $256,000. If you look below there, you'll see those transfers in, so that helps offset it. Now remember, you had $256,000 operating loss, which includes $725,000 of depreciation and amortization. So you're not cutting a check for for depreciation, right? It's non-cash. But what that represents is that represents your system being used up this year. It got used up by about $725,000 this year. Going on to page 19, this is your statement of cash flows. So this takes out the depreciation factor. We'll look at page 19. The top chart is net cash provided by operating. So that's basically day-to-day operations, the cash effect of that. We had $431,000 to the positive. Next question is what happens to that? And if you look down under net cash used by capital and related activities, about middle of the page, that's negative 660. You'll see that basically all the money that we brought in, any leftover, is used to pay the principal on debt. And then we still have the interest and paying down the line of credit and buying capital assets and such. So, again, I'm kind of laying the landscape for the communications and the audit communications. So that's the audit in a nutshell. Everything else is pretty plain Jane, consistent with last year, except for note 7. Note 7 on page 32, that's your GASB 87, that's leases. In there you have the leases, and then you also have some truck leases. And then on page 34, you have the town as a lessee, so we are leasing some copiers under the governmental activity. So those three pages are GASB 87. I don't really expect anyone to care too much other than maybe a bank or something who's using these financials, but that is the change this year. So that's your financials in a nutshell. I appreciate management for being ready for us and having us come out. We really appreciate that. And if you have to answer any questions, if you have any questions on the financials.
Do you guys have any questions? No. We have your contact information, right? So
feel free if you have any questions after that. I know there's a lot to digest. And I'm looking over here, it's 8 minutes. So a lot of work, a lot of hours, and some down to 8 minutes. Whole year worth of financial picture. All right, so why don't we look at the audit communications? I think this is probably where the most value and probably the most interest you guys will have. So starting on page 2 of the audit communications, this is audit communications that every audit across in the U.S. is required to have. If you're PCAOB, if you're a nonprofit, for-profit, government, you're going to get a letter that includes some of this stuff. It's required by the auditing standards. Middle of the page, qualitative aspects of accounting practices. Hey, guys, GASB 87 is here. We've said it 87 times now. next section is, these are things I'm required to communicate to you guys. That's why I have to sit up, bring it up. Significant estimates in the financial statements are depreciation expense. We've talked about that. The allowance for uncollectible accounts, net pension liability. Over the years, we've gone over pension liability. Leases, that's an estimate too, so that's your key estimates within the financials. Then going on to page 3, we didn't have any difficulties with the audit, no disagreement with management, etc. So that letter's been around for probably 10 years now, and it doesn't change a whole lot other than what I just said. Page 6 and 7, this is a letter that, so when we come out and do an audit, it's a risk-based approach. We come out, we talk to management about internal controls, we document controls, we do some walkthroughs, and we assess risk, and then we look at riskier areas based on our opinion, auditor judgment, and then we might test that in more areas. So if there's a deficiency in internal control, we can just tell you. If there's, if it gets to a significant deficiency or material weakness, that's the next two levels, and that's based on our judgment. We're required to put it in this level, so that's what we're doing here. This is segregation of duties. This letter, this comment, well, starting on page 6, has been around since this requirement has been here. Basically, cost-benefit analysis, you guys probably don't want to go out and hire 5 CPAs to get rid of this letter, right? So you do have a segregation of duties. You have limited staff to do as best as they can. If we see any control things that we can recommend, we would do that. But that doesn't mean walk around with our heads in the sand, right? That means when you're given financials, ask questions if something seems out of whack. You know, it's kind of everybody's job at that point to help with the controls of the town. So that's been there. It's going to probably continue to be there. So nothing out of the ordinary there. Then it's the journal entries, and that's just more for reporting documentation. Moving on to page 14. We kind of went through the financials. I kind of pointed out some areas that were some key metrics that we look at. I think it's important to point out and put this in writing, the financial health of the town. We talked about the fund balance of the governmental fund and how the GFOA recommends 2 months reserves. At June 30, 22, we had 0.1 month of reserve. So what's that, a week or two? So we're under recommendations. Part of that is, remember that $220,000 that we were taking from the general fund and giving it to the water sewer fund? That's a large part of that. That's happened year over year over year, so we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So moving on to page 15, it's this debt service ratio. And there's a lot of different ways you can look at the financial health of the water sewer fund. I thought this was probably one of the more basic ways to look at it, but usually your net operating income, you want that to be at least, your debt service ratio to at least be 1 or above, ideally 1.2 or above. You can see our we've been tracking at 0.74, 0.83, 0.73, 0.87. So we're under that. So you might sit there and say, well, boy, that's great. What does that mean? I think it's time to do an assessment of water sewer rates, and it's probably time to start increasing them. You know, you got to get the water sewer fund. Remember, we talked about how it's an enterprise fund. It's supposed to operate on its own. It's supposed to generate revenues enough to cover its cost. Right now, it's not doing that. It hasn't done that at least since 2018. I would probably even venture to say if I went back further, it hasn't. So it's kind of been slowly bleeding out. I think it's time to kind of correct the ship. I was a auditor on another town on the Eastern Shore. I had a similar problem, and I kind of spent a couple years telling them the same story, and they finally heard it. The ship has been corrected. So, you know, I think there's a lot of maybe citizens who might not like to hear water sewer rates are going to go up, but they need to go up at this point. You know, it's a service that they have to pay for. So that's what that chart at the top of page 15 is. Bottom of page 15 is on the horizon. Any new standards coming? GASB number 96. I really think that people at the GASB just create things to make my job difficult. And basically, it's very similar to leases, but I call it cloud computing. If there's any cloud computing softwares you guys have, then you'll have to document it. We'll have to assess it. We need to make a calculation and get it in here. But Chrissy, that's kind of your homework to start identifying those for us.
Okay.
And if you look at 15 and 16, we kind of give some examples of things we can see.
Okay.
So that's homework. That's my presentation on the financials and maybe my thoughts on what can maybe change for the future. Happy to answer any questions.
Do you guys have any questions?
No.
I think we're good. And then we know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Appreciate it. We've had a long relationship with you guys. We really appreciate it. It's a great client. 20-some years now. I think I've been on this job all of it. Mm-hmm. Little piano.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we have fiscal year 2023-2024 budget update. Town Manager Gray.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, Member of the Council, you've got the just the general fund expenditures for the purpose of this presentation tonight. What's stripped out of it is everything that's personnel related. So what you sit in are the budget lines for all of the operations that the town performs. And the figures that are in there, which can be adjusted accordingly, represent what the budget lines were from three fiscal years ago. So this is a year of looking back and holding spending to 3 years ago's level. And the reason why is because there's been a lot of spending that's gone on. And there isn't corresponding growth that goes along with those expenditures. It's an austere budget. I had talked about austerity a couple of times in the past. And tax base that doesn't grow beyond tax assessment increases, and water and sewer customer base that doesn't grow more than 1 or 2% a year. And when 1% is 12 customers, it doesn't add an awful lot. We just heard about the water and sewer rates, and we know that there are customers that don't even pay their debt service, that they're not billed for a debt service. That was a legislative decision. I can't tell you it was a fiscally responsible one. So what we've got, just by way of some general overview of the budget that you've got, and again, debt and people are stripped out. So that's just what we do. Right? There's not a penny of expenditure on people in there, and there's not a penny of expenditure in debt service in there. All right? That's just the expenditure of what we do. Legal fees will be higher in the fiscal year. Can't tell you how high. I budgeted $50,000. I'm calling for a uniform level of benefits, both for organizational accountability as well as for fiscal responsibility. What does that mean? It means paid time off on holidays, where the police department is paid double of every other employee. I can't tell you that's a fiscally responsible thing anymore. And that's not to come to work, that's to stay home and enjoy the holiday. I'm calling for user pays the full cost of services they receive, like trash collection. General fund covers trash collection shortfall. Well, if we're going out to the private sector, we know what it actually costs to process garbage. And the user should be paying the full cost of processing the garbage and not having a general fund cover a gap between what the charge is and what the actual cost is.
So if we had not had the problem with our vendor, right, that we chose,
right,
we would have been covered because we had raised our rates to cover the cost of the contractor. But since the contractor, we had issues, we had to go with a different contractor, therefore costing more.
Correct.
Which we just basically ate that until we can address it with going out for the new RFP.
Correct.
Right,
and
okay.
The those bids are due on 5th of April. So when those fees come in and we see what the rate is, that's the cost of collecting and disposing of garbage. We can wish it otherwise, but that's the actual cost. And as a preferred approach, costs need to be covered. Town Public Works and Utilities Operations actually requires some discretion on the work tasks performed by outside contractors compared to those that can be done by our own staff. So I need to work with Public Works and Utilities about when and why they need to call up certain contractors compared to the work that they're capable of doing themselves. I'm not saying that they can do everything, but they need to exercise a better sense. They need to get a better sense of what it is they can do and exercise discretion on when they bring an outside contractor to do it. And actually, I've been working on the finance
Who authorizes that when they call in outside?
Frequently they just do it. And again,
without your knowledge?
Well, I mean, it's like, well, we have to do this. Okay. The lights at the tennis court were a perfect example. The lights at the tennis court, first of all, don't need to be the lights at the tennis court. But the repair costs were something that gives an expectation, call the electrical contractor and get them fixed. Well, it's, you know, nobody's playing tennis and it's going to be light at 7:40 tonight. So if anybody really has the desire to go out and play under the lights, you don't need to be there in the dark. The bar closes at dusk anyway. So that would have been, in the past, that would have been a call, that would have been a visit, that would have been a job done, that would have been invoiced, and we wouldn't have known about it until once the invoice was there. And that's not been a particularly cost-effective way of doing business. We're starting to track calls to those particular contractors. And if our staff needs to be upskilled, there should be some commitment to upskilling them.
We might also need to get a few bids.
That's my other
right.
Thing, so.
I mean, first one to the, I mean, you can't just say, well, this is my charge, and somebody knows that that's who we're going with, right? There needs to be options where I've got three people to call.
Well, at the end of a fiscal year, when you spend $70,000 on a contractor, not unheard of.
No,
it's like, well, this has never gone out to a bid.
Right.
All right. I got a $70,000 project and go out for a bid. Well, if I got a $70,000 expenditure over the course of a year, where's a bid? And again, we can pre-qualify and we can do a lot of things, but at least know what an hourly rate is.
I think we need to do that. I mean, at work, our work, anything over X amount has to go out for bid. Regardless, I think it's over $5,000 that has to go out for bid. Okay. And if we're going to spend, even with a contract, if you have blanket contract approval, still, once you reach a certain threshold, you're now in violation of the purchasing manual. So,
And I can understand that. Like, what went on at Old Denton Road with that valve?
Me too.
Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. You know, I can understand that. But no, I agree with you guys. That should go out for bid.
Our procurement manual requires that too, but it seems to always be an emergency.
Yeah.
Well, who's emergency?
Yeah, we need to define emergency.
Right.
So.
And then just a couple other points, and then we can get into as many line items as you like. No proposed increase in taxes, but proposed increase in trash collection rates to cover the full cost. And that's going to be based on the holder's bid. Annual rental licenses and inspection fees go up to 120 per unit is what I'm proposing, because they put a lot of wear in the exercise of the rental properties puts a lot of wear and tear on staff that sometimes is not thought about. Police and code enforcement is obvious.
So I have a question on that. If somebody is not paying their rental license fee, what can we do to them to make them pay?
I would defer that to our attorney. I would certainly placard the property.
I mean, there's people already in it, right? So they fully rented it, but they have not paid their fees.
Yeah, so at that point, they are renting without a license, and they're in violation, and so they need to start getting municipal infractions.
Okay, so do we have the list of the municipal infractions?
Yeah, so I believe the way the code's written for failure to have any required licenses is $100 a day, and any subsequent offense is $200. And each offense, each day, is a new offense. So you have to put them on notice first, send them a letter saying you have until X date to get your license, and if you don't, we're going to start fining you. And you don't have to give them long, because they're a renter. They should know that they have to have the license, and it's a pretty simple process.
So do we start that July 1st of the fiscal year, or it's January 1st of the calendar year?
Calendar year, and code enforcement office sent out the second round of letters, I think, last week.
So for the people that have not paid?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in my thought, maybe for the code enforcement officer, is that if it's not paid within the first week of January, then they need to start getting their letter warning them it was due on January 1st, and every day after January 15th, it's going to be $100 or $200 or whatever a day for them to pay, or whatever time frame we want to work out. But I mean, we're now into March, and I know people that have not paid.
Correct.
And And they are collecting their rent. You can guarantee that.
Well, and again, the code enforcement officer updates that every week in his report.
Right.
So at least we can track what's why. But we did have one apartment complex didn't pay for all of 2022.
I'm working on that.
I know that. Thank you.
If these rentals are subsidized through federal funding or state funding, is there a way to get in there from that angle? I mean,
I don't know that, but actually the ones that are subsidized usually pay pretty quickly.
The owner, the renters?
Yeah, I mean, those are, you know, those are not in that's not a significant amount of money. But we should get that pretty easily from it.
I was thinking about the gentleman we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
So I'm proposing a rate increase on that. That'd be in effect July 1. So we wouldn't see that until January billing of next year. But there certainly would be enough time for notice. No additional staff positions are created and no existing staff positions are eliminated to maintain the current level of service. Because we have to take care of people, that's why the personnel lines are left blank. Because we still have to take care of people. And we don't know what the insurance increase is going to be. What do we? Okay. I'd like to see the employee out of pocket remain static, even if the rate goes up. So that's going to be more on the general revenue to take care of. But staff increase of 2.5% compared to a 6% annual inflation. Inflation in the last 2 years is up 17%. Our employees have taken a 6% pay increase. So everybody's 11% down from what it's costing them to carry on. And an increase of premium pay from $1,500 annual to $2,000, and I would say effective July 1 this way. We've got a premium pay in April next month, and then we've got another premium pay in September. So I'd like to see that go up and prorated up from $750 payment to $1,000 for payment. It's ARPA. It's got to get spent anyway. And it just shows a level of major commitment to our personnel. I'm also proposing minimal capital outlays and recognition of ongoing debt service obligations. Requested increases in staff benefits. So if our projects are earmarked funded, great. If our projects require a 20% grant or 20% match, knowing the seven figures most of our projects are, we don't have the $200,000 to $400,000 laying around. And that's unfortunate, but that's what we've got, and I can't justify putting more debt on at least for the next 4 years. At least the debt that we've got starts to drop off. And again, our auditor did a fine job tonight. We didn't get into the specifics, but those were in some staff reports, and we can find them. $747,000 was the debt service payment in last fiscal year. So we're starting right off the bat, $750,000 for everything that comes in, already put aside, lock it up, because it's going to pay off our debts. We can get a nice street sweeper for half of that. One time. So when the debt starts falling off in 2028, I'm not going to say happy days here again, but it's going to be a noticeable difference to have that $350,000 handy every year to do other things with. Including pay off more debt if that's the way, Mayor and Council go. I can't recommend more debt at this point, which is going to limit our ability to do capital projects unless they're fully funded. So that's what we've got. And again, I use the word, it's an austere budget. We're not looking at a lot of bells and whistles, but I am also recommending a January, February, mid-year of next year assessment to see if our actual revenues and expenditures are playing out. These are just projections. Like I said, I think on the expenditures on some of our contractors, we can get that under control, bring in some more revenue on the rentals. I think there'll be a we'll see some more money on that. We'll see 20% increase on that. Yet to be determined what the water meters bring in. There's going to be a spike, and then there's going to be a drop-off from that spike when people figure out that they can monitor their own water use and get back to saving some water. Or we can start letting them know that, hey, did you realize you have a leak? Where it's now in our interest to tell people, you got a leak. You might want to tend to that. So that's what we've got as far as the big picture. Like I said, I'm not going to get into anything that's an operational line. The personnel lines have been emptied out. We don't have, because of elections up there, because we don't know what that's going to look like. But that's the overview of where we are on, at least on the general fund side of the expenditures. And we haven't looked at the revenues yet. The auditor report is a good indication of how our revenues go, and we always seem to miss the mark on our water and sewer revenues. They always seem to come in light, and there's no reason they should be coming in light, but they do come in light, and as a result, it requires the dip into the general funds to go and bail them out, go and bail out the utility fund.
So how many do we have that do not pay any debt service?
Probably about 10.
And those are the people that we would like to put meters in so we know what our true loss is, minus the 187. Because if they're not even paying that bill, do they even get a bill for trash? Are we picking up trash at some of those locations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
The $85,000 landfill charge.
That was my question.
Is that... townwide trash, or is that special trash, or
that's going to be everything. And again, that's obviously going to change based on
okay.
From that.
Okay.
I thought it seemed high to be
yeah.
like what the wastewater treatment plant hauls us. So that's weekly trash hauled out. Okay.
Right. Well, the dewatering is a perfect example. That's a $2.5 million dewatering sludge price.
Right.
Because we're hauling water over to the dump.
Right.
Paying for water, and water weighs a lot. So if we get that 17% down, even a lousy 14%, that's that much less water in our sludge that we're paying for at the dump. So, although there may be a way to work out a little bit of a bargain on that, that's in discussion right now. But that's yeah, we'll know for sure when we get the collection dates in.
And I'm a little out of line, not out of line. Going backwards to this for a second, I have one quick question. The water and sewer, minus $200,000.
Yeah.
Do these reflect the solar panels being operational?
Not yet, because that ended.
That's what I thought, okay.
So
we should be better, with all things being equal, we should be 150 better minimum.
Well, that certainly doesn't include any of the credits being sold, because we just sold the credits 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. June 30th.
I couldn't remember when everything.
We were maybe getting 3 or 4 months worth of bills. Whether we maybe start with the bills. Maybe February?
Maybe
February, March, April.
All right.
But we'd have to go back and check. And
right, no, but it wasn't the whole year, and it wasn't even half the year, so we should see.
No, it didn't get
considerable improvement from that alone. So.
It didn't get the inverter until November 24th,
yeah.
of 2021.
And should it also improve with the new meters?
We'll see. We're going to be capturing more of the expenditure. Yeah. When if people start scaling our use back?
Oh, you're going to lose. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's
first
be,
month or two, it's probably a spike in our first. Quarter anyway, it'll spike and then
and then it'll balance out again.
Sticker shock.
Then I'm going to start putting a lock on the outside faucets so
exactly
my wife can't water the flowers in the grass.
Yeah.
But the point is, we'll be able to capture our water in and water out.
Right.
Which is at this point kind of a mystery.
Yes.
I have to take a shower every third day instead of every other day.
Let us know how much that saves, Raven.
Everybody get a rain barrel.
Yeah.
You're swimming in the marsh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bathing in the river.
But again, what we're next with is the lack of growth on the revenue side. So expenses expenditures kind of have to be controlled to accommodate what the revenues look like, not to accommodate even a cost of living increase, because we can't make that.
You've got $10,000 for the sidewalk program in there again this year.
Yeah.
Have we fixed any this year with it, or did we leave that in this year's budget, the year we're in now?
I think we took it out this current year.
Okay.
We're patching streets, which is a start.
Well, right, no, I know. I saw that, and then I just couldn't remember either when I was going through this if we left it in or not, was all.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the CDBG, the meeting that we have coming up? Or
The allocated money of what's showing in the audit is $620. I think our bank account shows it as $618, which is the small business fund. And that's, had its wins and losses in the past. That's not really what Department of Housing and Community Development wants to be into anymore. So that CDBG grant that program can be repurposed into other CDBG projects. So that was brought up by their staff after our discussion, and they're fine with it. They just need to know what's what. New secretary of Department of Housing and Community Development is supposed to be in Federalsburg on April 7th. So it's a chance to show off some plans and talk about some ideas and move forward from there. I'll always say a community development block grant, under the facility side, local streets, the improvement of local streets is an expenditure. We don't need a new town hall. But you would get new town hall money. We need street repairs. So that's where we should go.
Will that take us out of the small business loans for the community?
Yeah, that would. And again, it's not even what DHCD wants to be doing anymore. It's their recognition, again, the local governments fund, particularly the bankers. It's very accommodating of them to allow us to restructure our grant and put it to other things that can be done. So again, that's facility improvements, parks, playgrounds, sidewalks. $600,000 isn't going to go far, but it's more than we've got sitting in the general fund to be able to, do some projects that we wanted to get around doing. It'll pay a bunch of sidewalks, it'll put in a bunch of handicap ramps.
Put in bathrooms at the marina.
Build bathrooms at the marina, yeah, and that's kind of
fix our tennis court.
That's kind of stuff you can do.
Uses a 20% match for the pump issues we
have?
That's
a good question. Because water and sewer is a legitimate
right.
CDBG
expenditure.
Right. And that's a good question.
$1 million each, or when? I can't remember.
4.3
It was a lot.
I knew your numbers were up there.
So if that requires a 20-25% match, it's $1 million.
So.
Just for the pump stations, and we know we can't keep kicking the pump station repair down the curb. That's from two engineering firms now, it's all the same.
Now, and also, just that's $500,000 we have in the account, right? There's $120,000 of that still loaned out, or no?
It's about $40,000 of
$60,000. Okay.
Yeah. I know we contacted the.
I'm working on that with Lindy.
Okay.
Well, need to get working on that with Lindy.
Right. Okay.
But $620,000 is what's in the bank account.
$618,000
is
some change.
Right.
Okay. So $618,000. All right. So $678,000 total.
Right.
All right.
And they said we can count what's outstanding. Just consider the whole of the fund. So that's fine. I'll take it.
So we are meeting Secretary Day on that Friday. It's Good Friday at 1:00. If anybody's interested, we're just going to give them a little tour around town, and just chat with them about what we'd like to do with it and options that we have with it. So. Great. Any other questions on that? All right. Next, we have Planning and Zoning Commission reappointment. Town Manager Dre.
Madam Mayor, members of council, Chairwoman Moyer's term expired in January, so So she would like to be reappointed for a term of 2 years. And staff certainly recommends a reappointment. She's done a very good job, in staff's opinion.
Does anybody have any thoughts?
I'm in favor.
All right, then I'll take a motion to reappoint Mercedes Moyer to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a term of 2 years.
I make a motion we reappoint Mercedes Moyer to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a term of 2 years.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the proposed zoning ordinance text amendments, section 245-81, industrial district ID 2 permitted uses.
And Madam Mayor, members of the council, this is a follow-up from the joint work session with the Mayor and Council and Planning and Zoning Commission at the end of February 28th, I think it was, when there was some discussion about the industrial 2 district permitted uses, all 76 of them, and the determination of what in the joint discussion of what can go and what can stay. So those are listed. If there's more discussion, there can certainly be more discussion. That was a worthwhile discussion. Otherwise, if it's the pleasure of Mayor and Council to start moving the text amendment to the amendment process, public hearing, et cetera, one more review by a lawyer, then by directing staff accordingly.
I mean, I'm fine with it. At the meeting, I think we were able to get rid of some stuff that just didn't seem to make any sense, and I was fine with everything else. Do you guys have any?
I'm looking. I can't remember why we said take it out. The radiator repair, cleaning, and servicing.
I think Rob said because it were, sorry, Councilman Willoughby said it was more of a service,
not an industrial
use.
So if you're going somewhere
but
to get
if
your
we
So I guess basically that would allow somebody to open a garage over there and run a business out of there.
Right.
That would allow them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking if, there's a 2-acre lot in an industrial park. Not saying we have it. Is that the worst thing in the world to stick in there on the small lot that couldn't be used for anything else?
Right.
I mean, I read that today, and I couldn't remember why, and I didn't know if we wanted that type of service in.
No, but if we had, if there's a 2-acre lot, there's that, right? But there's could be a myriad of other things that could go on a 2-acre lot. I think that's when somebody would say, hey, here's this lot. Is what I want to do with it.
I like the thought of being consistent.
That was my thought. Was
keeping
the
services
written, it sounds
out
like
of
it's
there.
A commercial thing.
Okay.
It should go in commercial zoning.
All right.
Any other comments on that?
Mm-hmm.
So we can go ahead and start moving that forward. Okay. Next, we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Oh, the only thing I can think of was I've heard this thing about the water and sewer for several years, and it's something that we need to kick around. But I wrestle with, do we want to wait until all the meters are installed before we look at it?
You're talking about raising the rates.
Mm-hmm. So that was just my thoughts.
That was kind of my thought, seeing as how people are getting ready to get sticker shock anyway when their bill is when their meter is more accurate. But I think we do need to evaluate our losses on the free debt service and the free water and sewer that's being used.
Let me know when you're going to do that, and I'm going to stay home.
I'm just saying it's good for people to know that there's a lot of people getting free rides that, we're carrying their debt. Even if they paid the debt and we still gave them the free water and sewer, at least if they were paying to get their trash picked up, I would just like to know what that balance is, right? So you can say, these are our options, and this is, it's putting us $50,000 in the hole because this is what we give away every year.
And I would be interested to see the list, honestly, because I can guess at some of them, but I don't know if I could come up with 10 on my own.
Yes, you could.
Yeah. So, anything else, Councilman Windsor?
No, that's
great. Thank you.
Oh, I know.
Councilman Sewell.
I have a few things. Mayor Abner and I attended the county commissioner's budget hearing last week, and I'm happy to report that their intent is to maintain the 8% tax differential for Federalsburg. I wanted to double check with Mr. Dree about April 5th and turning the water tower blue for CASA's Child Abuse Day. Okay.
I've also got a request to turn something purple on the 31st of August for autism, I think it was.
So that's Wednesday the 5th. On Thursday the 6th of April, right out here at the Men for Change Garden at 4 o'clock, the town of Federalsburg will be planting their own pineal garden, if anyone would like to participate. And then on Friday the 31st from 6 to 7:30, we're having a community conversation. Mayor Abner, we probably all got it, but she did make sure that we did get it. But Kat Stork is leading a community conversation up at the Lions Hall. And then on April 26th, starting at 5:30, there will be a community-wide, county-wide collective impact session also at Lions Hall. So we get to host those two things. And that's it.
Very good. Thank you. Councilman Phillips?
No.
Councilman Willoughby?
So just two things. One is, since Chief is here, you had a question at the last meeting when I was driving.
oh, yes.
I think in the budget, Chief, there's $50,000 for anticipated new revenue from the ticket cameras.
Yes.
And if I'm doing math right, because I think $40 is the amount of the citation by state law. Typically, they get half and we get half.
Yes.
So that's 2,500 violations. That's like four violations a day.
You expect that to last for the whole for a year once people start getting?
Yes. I think that's a conservative amount.
Okay.
To be honest, I think it's a conservative amount. When you consider that the traffic just on University alone is almost 10,000 vehicles a week, right now we're at it's probably closer to 12,000. We've only been recording them one way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going both ways, and the volume is significant. And when you have a static camera and then you move one around, it's going to generate more contact than you would normally get from just static cameras. So do I think we'll have at least four a day? Absolutely. I think we'll have more than that, but I think that's a fair estimate.
Okay.
on value, what it brings to the budget.
Okay. There were a couple other devices being put up on University, like I think on Friday or Thursday.
Yes.
Are they the cameras, or
they're doing the traffic study now.
Okay.
To complement what we've already done.
Okay.
We anticipate Red Speed anticipates we want to be up and running by the end of April.
Okay.
So that we have at least the end of this budget year to look at those numbers and then have a better projection going forward. But this year is going to be an experimental, year for us, so
okay.
A lot of unknowns.
And then my last question, sorry, Chief. With having a volunteer fire department and with folks kind of coming from all different directions when the whistle blows,
yes.
I'm fearful of getting into a situation where some of our first ticketed folks are people going to put out fires, or I know there's this unwritten rule of 10 miles an hour.
Yes.
I would venture to guess that's not always followed. So has there been conversation with the fire department? I don't want the people that are going to come put my house down to also get a $40 ticket on the way.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a concern of mine.
I understand, Councilman. The actual number is 12 miles per hour.
Right.
In all fairness, I don't want somebody going to put a fire out at the mayor's house running over your son or daughter.
Right.
Because they're going 15 over.
Right.
Right. So it was a balancing act for us on that.
Obviously, the 12 is a lot of discretion. Before anybody even gets a ticket, they're going to have to be going 13 plus.
Okay.
And a 25. So that's a significant increase. And I don't know that, based on what I've seen on the numbers, the firemen are pretty good about not violating that. I mean, they all go faster than 25, but they don't stretch it beyond that. We have the discretion to review any issuance and make that judgment call. And people have the ability to go to court as well with the town basically saying, hey, look, we're not opposed to the judge granting a lot of discretion in this particular matter because of this. But nor can we forgive the fire company in general and their response because they're not emergency vehicles and they're not allowed to do that without having that equipment. Of course, any of the emergency vehicles or right. the fire chiefs or people like right. that have that in their vehicles, they're allowed to do that.
Right.
They're allowed to violate the law.
So I just didn't know, has there been a dialogue between...
You know, I have not talked to the chief. I saw the chief at the fatal the other day, and we chatted about something else, but... you mentioned that. I'll sit down and go to one of their meetings and talk to them and tell them what they can expect our response to be.
Okay.
It's certainly not meant to be a targeting act for
them. Right. I'm just thinking sometimes you look out the window and you're like, that car is really speeding. And sometimes when the whistle blows, you look out and you go, well, there's half a dozen of them, but I know why they are. You know what I mean? It's kind of
glad to see them going.
Exactly.
We don't want to discourage them responding because we can't afford a fire
right.
company.
Right. And so, sorry, Kim, but my last thing is kind of piggybacking off Ed. If we were going to do looking at sewer rates and water rates, we would probably want to do a rate study. We would probably want to pay for that out of ARPA because we don't have the money sitting around just to do it, right?
Yeah, well, and I think it would be a little bit of a... I would talk to George Smith first.
Okay.
And World Water Association.
Right.
Who could do a rate study for us.
Okay.
Not free, but
certainly
deferred.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't be as expensive as an engineering firm. Because our debt looks different. The reason our rates are what they are is because of $109 and some cents every quarter for, sewer debt.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, okay, we'll look at all of our neighbors. It might be the same population size, number of connections, age of facility, size of the, 750,000 gallons of permit or whatever it is, but their rates are half. Well, okay, you're not telling me anything because your apple doesn't look like my watermelon.
Right.
And our thing is our debt. Mm-hmm. So really the only fair analog are utilities that are kind of wrestling with the same kind of debt we are. Not with the same number of connections, not with the same size of the plant capacity, none of that stuff. Because we've got operations and debt.
Right.
And I think it'd be hard to find anybody around here who's got debt level that we do. So you can take a look at the operation and get you partly there. But our thing is something beyond debt. I don't think you need to raise water rates, because water's not the problem. Sewer's the killer.
Right. I wonder if, and this is why I was asking, because I'm not waiting until we get this, But if someone was doing a study, they would be able to project it theoretically
right.
without having to wait.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece is, and this might be nice to your point of when you put out whatever the rates are going to be, hey, by the way, $101 is debt service, and in 2028, this much debt falls off, and that number could reduce to $78. Like,
right.
To be able to say, yes, we're raising this rate, but just so you know, here's the projection for the debt service rate. So people can see, okay, it's the $3 per thousand that's going up to $3.50. And in a couple years, this $100 per quarter goes down to $75. And, I don't know. If we could project it, that might be too confusing.
Well, I think Mayor did a good job now.
Yeah.
Two mayor's minutes ago.
Yeah.
I keep
with that.
Yeah.
Showing that graphic because it's a good graphic,
it
explains exactly what their water bill is and why you already start out $174 in the hole.
Right.
When you get your bill.
Right. But just thinking, if that 174 is going to gradually over time drop, being able to communicate that with some level of somebody that's
better at math than I am going, this is where it will go.
Yeah.
You know, dependent on no new debt being taken on.
Right.
And this, that, and the other. I mean, all those caveats, but I don't know. We're raising your rate, but there's hope.
So minimize your water and sewer usage until
they won't see it that way.
They won't see
they
it.
They will.
That, but at least we put it out there.
Right.
At least we put
That's all we can do is give it to them.
All right, I'm done. I promise.
You okay? You sure? All right. The few things I do have is, Tom, thank you for your article on the sturgeon thing. It was great. Tom, I don't know if you saw it in the Star Democrat. There was a really nice, almost page and a half article with all the pictures. I love the picture of the little girl with, like, staring at that giant fish. I thought it was great. So I appreciate you taking the time and talking with everybody and taking some really good pictures and putting those out. And then can you send me the Lions Club one? Did you send that one to the...
I can send it to you.
Yeah, if you could send me that, that would be awesome. Thank you. And the one of us. I do want to get a picture of all of us with it painted. Maybe we'll all do our red shirts and get a picture of that one also.
Two.
Yes. Thank you. And then the blue catfish, I don't know if anybody has seen the Star Democrat Friday, right? There was an article on the blue catfish and what is going through Annapolis. And the picture in there was taken at the Madness on the Marshy Home with Dave Sikorsky. So I did this little video of Buster the Blue Catfish and what he eats and what he does, how he got here, where he lives. And it's now made its rounds through DNR, and they've asked that I update some of the graphics so the fish really look like the fish that live in the river. But DNR would like to start using it in their PR campaigns. So Buster the Blue Catfish is about to be real famous.
What is the royalties and licensing?
I know, that's the first thing I was thinking of, because it says on there that I created the book and where the content came from, so...
We should have Federalsburg
compliments
on there.
It says compliments of the town of Federalsburg on there, so... So it's nice that hopefully we'll get some extra money and, you know, Buster will bring some other people in besides the sturgeon, so... I think that's all I have. I was happy that the commissioners were, we didn't even have to beg this year. Usually you have to beg. And before I even got up and spoke, they were like, just so you know, we're already giving the towns these. So
yeah.
That was very refreshing. But it was, I mean, they were done at 7 o'clock. It was an hour long. I mean,
short.
On the dot, it was like, we're out. So it was good. So there is several increases that have been asked for. And I guess so now they have to decide whether they're going to fund any of the increases. But
if I could add something, just for FYI, Saturday, April 1st is the Sharptown Blue Catfish Festival.
Yeah,
starts at 6 a.m.
Yeah, no,
if
I won't
anyone's
be going
interested.
For that. No, I'll go for the weigh-in. I won't go for the thing. I was wondering. I'm sorry.
Saturday, April 1st.
Sharptowns. Yeah.
And theirs is theirs is a well-established one. We're still sort of new to the Blue Catfish Tournament. But.
I know. They did lend us their weight system, though, so I'm going to have to make one of those because that came in handy. So I think, unless anybody has anything else, we'll take a motion to go into executive session for personnel and legal advice, please.
I make a motion that we go into executive session for personnel and legal advice.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Sorry, I was late.
No, you're fine. I'm sorry it wasn't an exciting meeting. So.